The first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 to 11, which is a very familiar Advent reading. Please listen to the word of God. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the gospel reading is from Mark's gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Advent is a season of preparation. And as I think about what do we prepare ourselves for? You know, many things come to mind. We tend to prepare ourselves to fight against or to ward off, you know, worst case scenarios. So we spend time preparing for, you know, perhaps downturns in the economy or in our own life situation by trying to create some kind of financial plan. Or we prepare in much the same way for retirement so that we'll be able to feel like we can have a safe and secure and enjoyable life as we age and opt out of the workforce. We prepare for, of course, we've learned how to do this, significant weather events or pandemics. So we, try to get some food on hand and some water and some batteries and flashlights. And we learned earlier this year that toilet paper is a big deal as well. And we prepare for, of course, Christmas time a little differently this year than most years. We still do the decorations, and I see a Christmas tree in the background, and we still do gifts and Christmas cards. But perhaps, and I would counsel us not to do the normal round of parties and dinners that we would usually do this time of year. And, you know, you think about it, much of our life is spent preparing for some big task. We prepare when we're in school for tests. In the workplace, we're preparing for some big project or big campaign. And if you're like me, there have been times where you've had nightmares, where you woke up and you were unprepared for some significant test or some significant project. I used to dream that I would show up for church and I would, you know, I wouldn't have my full article of clothing on, or I would have forgotten to prepare for a sermon. You know, maybe you've had dreams like that too. And then as we age, or if we deal with you know, a severe illness, it calls us to prepare, right? We feel drawn to prepare by getting our affairs in order. Perhaps we make a will. Perhaps we extend ourselves to communicate our love in unusual ways, which I think is an extraordinary gift for us, all of us, to think about. I know of people who make visual recordings for loved ones for after they die, and others that write down significant expressions of love or just historical things about their life that, again, will help loved ones after they have passed. And in a very deep way, as we prepare, as we age, or as we deal with illness, we probably feel drawn to prepare our hearts, right? Not just our heads to deal with our mortality, but our hearts. And that has a way of changing something deep within us. We all know that we're mortal, but we rarely open our hearts to the depth of that. And of course, as we open our hearts to our mortality, we lots of times find ourselves opening ourselves to a deep need to connect with God in a meaningful way. So Advent is a time of preparation, but this week's preparation is preparing the way for a dramatic appearance of God in our midst, an act of God's deep blessing and deliverance. So I found myself wondering, how do we prepare ourselves for an experience of deep presence, deep blessing, deep deliverance from God? And as I thought about that, it's a little bit trickier. You know, we're used to preparing for challenges. So what do we do with ourselves when our struggle is over and blessing abounds? Think about that some. If everything was coming up roses, would we be bored? Would we go looking for some other challenge to make us feel engaged? Is it harder for us in some ways to receive good news than to receive bad? I wonder. The Isaiah text began with these beautiful, beautiful words. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the text is saying that Israel has finally been released from this 50-year period of captivity in Babylon, and that she is now free to go back home and to reclaim her life once again. So we can probably identify with that feeling. It hasn't been 50 years of captivity, but 9 months of exile in this pandemic, which has impacted all of our lives. And imagine the joy we will feel when the announcement comes that we can reclaim our lives once again. And so it's good news that's being heralded. And not only that Israel could return to her life once again, to her home, but that she has received double punishment for all of her sins. So Israel knew that she was culpable for her captivity. Her own decisions, her own forgetfulness of God led to her ruin and destruction. And so God is not only restoring her fortunes, but also erasing the guilt that she might carry with her as she went home and moved once again into her new life. So this Advent season, think about the way that guilt weighs us down and how guilt can block us from fully moving into the promise of the blessing of the new life, which is always offered to us, but that somehow we hold on to messages of guilt that keep us from fully experiencing God's intention of blessing for us, of new life for us. So maybe one practice this Advent is a practice of forgiving ourselves for not being perfect, forgiving ourselves for not measuring up to everyone's expectations, forgiving us for not living up always to our own expectations, letting go of the guilt that we carry that we are human beings and not perfect, that we fall short, that we have days where we are not at our best, that we have moments where we fall not into our best selves, but into our lower selves. Maybe the one invitation of Advent is to say, you have paid double for all your sins. Prepare the way for the blessing of the new life that is announced, heralded by Isaiah and John. Prepare the way of the Lord. Forgive yourself and accept the forgiveness of God. When John began his ministry of announcing the coming of Christ, he also asked people to prepare for this new thing of God by drawing inside, by examining their conscience, by asking for forgiveness, admitting, confessing their sin, asking for forgiveness, and engaging in this ritual of baptism, of dying to the old and being reborn to the new, of repenting, which means to receive a new mind and a new heart. We can't really receive the blessing of the new that is promised to us if we are holding on to the curse and the judgment and the guilt of the old. Can we let go, receive forgiveness, and start again and again and again? So both texts are proclaiming that God is here, that God is acting in a powerful way to restore God's people, both with return from exile in Isaiah and with the announcement of the Christ being present by John. Both are proclaiming tremendously, fundamentally good news. The Christian message is fundamentally a message of good news. This is what gospel means. And so these Advent texts are reminding us that our whole life as Christians is to be a practice of receiving and proclaiming good news. Good news that God is with us, that God is never not near, that God is always working intimately for our well-being in every circumstance of our lives, no matter how hard our lives are at any given moment. Life may be hard, but the good news is that God is with us tenderly. Speak tenderly. God holds us, as Isaiah says, like a shepherd holds lambs in his arms next to his bosom. So practice being with that image of being held. I'm looking at the window in our beautiful sanctuary of Jesus holding a lamb, the promise, the essential image of the message of our faith, of good news, that God holds us. God is with us. But both Isaiah and Mark ask us, have we prepared ourselves to receive, to share, and to live into good news? Or is there a sense in which we don't quite believe it, that we have been so conditioned to live and expect bad news that we our fundamental stance in the world is defensive? And, it's on hyper vigilance, that we're waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Oh, things are good now, but the other shoes are going to drop. And so we can't fully open ourselves to our own lives because we're living in fear. We're living by bad news instead of good. And so, you know, it may not sound like we need to prepare ourselves to receive the good news, but I think both texts this morning are really making that point. Prepare yourself, prepare your heart for the good. Don't allow fear to shut down and freeze your heart. Don't allow cynicism, you know, to keep you waiting for someone to bring attack. Open yourselves knowing that no matter what comes your way, God is with you, holding you tenderly to God's bosom like a lamb. In Isaiah's context, you know, the good news is that people after 50 years could finally go back to their homes and start their lives over. But Isaiah was saying, you got to let this into your hearts and not just into your heads. Because, you know, what are you going to do when you go back home? Are you going to really live in hope that you can trust, that you don't have to live in fear that this is going to happen again, that you don't have to become overly self-concerned, self-preoccupied, suspicious of foreigners who might take your land away from you again? But you could live fully into the calling of God, which is to receive and to proclaim good news, to become those who live wholeheartedly for the love and the service of God's love in the world, and not defensively, not self-protectively. And of course, what happened is the people came back and they hunkered down and they became overly self-focused and self-preoccupied and fearful, and they felt like if they weren't perfect, they were going to fall into ruin again. And when you're living in that energy, it's impossible for the good news really to be received, much less to be shared, much less to be lived into fully, recklessly, knowing that we are called by God to be the manifestation of God's message of hope for the world, giving ourselves away in love, just as God gives God's love away for us all. And imagine being in John's context, where the people were living under the thumb of the greatest empire the world had ever known. What would it mean for John's people, Jesus's people, to live in hope under forced occupation by this great Roman empire? And so I think both Isaiah and John knew instinctively that they needed to soften their people's heart, to fight against the messages of our reptilian brain, the fear and the anger, the self-protection, and to say, God is here. Open your hearts to receive this great news. Let go of the fear and live in the confidence of the hope that you are blessed and that your primary work in this world is to give yourself as a blessing to the world, to make God's love real, to make God's light real in the darkness and the hurt of human culture. So that's the message this morning. Prepare ourselves to live into good news. Sure, there's fear around the pandemic. There's a sense of loss that we all are experiencing and sadness. But yet, the promise to us is of good news, that God is here in the midst of us, working for our well-being every breath that we take. Now, let's be clear about what our biblical faith does promise. It promises that God is always near and active in ways that are largely invisible to us. It does not promise that events are always going to go to our liking, or that no harm or no challenge or no disappointment or heartbreak will come our way. Our Bible, our biblical faith does not promise any of that. It promises that no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, that God is with us. So our preparation for the coming of the Lord in and amidst us means training our hearts and our minds to open to love and to hope and to the call to give ourselves away in service and love. The reason that there is discipline to our faith is to prepare ourselves to live into a different reality, one of good news, not one of bad news and fear, but one of good news and hope. And so it's really ordinary daily things that we do that prepares and opens our hearts to be able to do this. And so we do things like coming into worship. And we do this not because I'm going to hit a home run every week. You know, I'm not always at the top of my game. And I can try to forgive myself for not being Superman, just as I hope you can forgive yourself for not always being truly and fully and deeply present to God in your midst in every moment. But we come to worship as a practice, to hear the promise, to reinforce our very human hearts with the message of hope, the message of God's eternal faithfulness to us. We turn to the scriptures for the same reason, to remind ourselves. We don't turn to them because they're easy to read or understand, or even because they're easy to listen to or to hear, but because as we turn to them with sincerity of heart, God has a way of speaking to us in exactly the way we need to hear at any given moment. And we turn to the practice of prayer, not because if we, you know, wear God out with our petitions, we're guaranteed that life is going to go according to our wishes. We turn to prayer to practice opening and surrendering our hearts and our wills to God until there becomes a place in us where we can say from in authenticity, from our hearts, God, thy will be done. And then we practice in little ways showing up every day with an intention to act for kindness or to do some small act of care for another person, take out the garbage, wash the dishes, a kind word, a moment of listening, some kind of act of care and love, even when we don't feel like it, as a way of practicing opening ourselves to the reality of good news, that God is near, that God is here, that God is in us, asking us to be the vessel through which this incredible good news is given to the world. The world as it manifests itself to us in any given moment. So this is our Advent practice, sisters and brothers. This is the way that we prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Because the Lord is coming. The Lord is already here. The Lord is coming with blessing and deliverance to all that he loves. And he's calling us to receive this good news, to take it in deeply, even as we take in the bread and the wine and the elements of communion this day, to feed deeply on his presence so that we become what we take in, that we become Christ. We become Christ's body. We become the hands and the feet and the heart of Christ that brings hope and love to the suffering and the fear of our world. That's our practice this Advent. May it be so. Amen.